day, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. The work of local political officials has gotten a lot harder in recent years. During the height of the pandemic, county health officials specifically were tasked with doing more, as the federal resources they needed hadn't been deployed or even developed in some cases. And that's while many of them were also being harassed or threatened for simply doing their jobs. As of late, county clerks have found themselves in a somewhat similar position. They are the first line of defense in our democracy. They ensure that votes are counted accurately, and they're tasked with calling out foul play when it occurs. As our democracy quakes, they have had to do more to recruit honest poll workers and earn the trust of the general public. And they have also received threats from the public for doing their jobs. In February of this year, Michigan's county clerks wrote an open letter to state leaders requesting more support for their work. They asked for more transparency in allowing the public to see pre- and post-voting process and wanted a more, quote, functional structure to promote early voting. And that's only been part of the problem for clerks. They have also had to deal with a lot of far-right Republicans who believe the 2020 election was stolen and are applying to become poll workers in an effort to disrupt the upcoming elections. Encouraged and stoked by right-wing media specialist Steve Bannon, a lot of them across the country and in the state have been trying to work the polls, essentially to mess with the election. Later in the hour, we're going to talk about the upcoming Civility Day project at Oakland University and ways we should really be caring about the people we disagree with, trying to reach out to them to find, I don't know, just a little bit of common ground. But right now, we want to talk about election safety and election process, the problems county clerks are running into and the solutions they are coming up with. We've got two really great clerks with us to discuss this. Lisa Brown is a Democrat, and she is the clerk of Oakland County. Lisa, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you, Stephen. Happy to be here.
Yes. And Justin Roebuck is a Republican, and he is the clerk of Ottawa County. Justin, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Yeah, great. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me, Stephen.
Okay, so Justin, I'm going to start with you. In February, you and a bunch of other clerks were concerned that the county clerks just don't have enough support. You said the clerks needed more time to pre-process absentee ballots and have them ready for tabulation on Election Day, and that more money is needed to pay for things like postage and Dropbox security and to pay election workers. All right, so we're about 6 or 7 months later, and we're coming up on another election. Are all of those things still in the need category, or are some of them in the fulfilled category?
Well, that's a great question. I think, you know, we continue to advocate for funding and for the important, necessary functions of our roles, both as county and local clerks. And I think, the legislature obviously did pass, and the governor signed this pre-processing legislation, which essentially allows 2 additional days to do a lot of the functional workflow aspects, not actually tabulating absentee ballots, but we are able to, do a number of verification steps in the process, which include opening the ballot, verifying the voter's signature and verifying the ballot number contained on the envelope and so forth. And that is, primarily across the state of Michigan, a function of local clerks, although certainly local municipal governments can contract with the county for that service as well. So I would say, and I know Clerk Brown, I'm sure, as Oakland is a significant player in this as well, I'm sure she can speak to this as well. But I think it has, it's a step in the right direction. That pre-processing thing, mm-hmm. the pre-processing piece is a step in the right direction. It's giving us a little bit of what we need. But I think it is important to recognize that states that have expansive absentee voting laws on the books also have a significant number of days that allow for the transparent and, you know, bipartisan counting of those ballots.
Yeah, yeah. Lisa Brown, you're the clerk of the second largest county here in Michigan. I want to give you a chance to talk about some of the needs that that you have in terms of more support from the state, but also get into this pre-processing of absentee ballots and explain maybe a little more even for people who aren't quite sure what that means. There's some controversy about how absentee ballots get counted, and some of it is about just lack of information, I think, about what that actually looks like.
Sure. Well, first of all, the legislation that was signed into law limits actually who can do pre-processing. So it's only for municipalities that have a population of at least 10,000. And it does not apply to, as Justin said, local clerks can contract with their county clerk. We do that in Oakland County in November. We'll be tabulating for 18 of our communities their absentee ballots, but the legislation does not allow a combined absentee voting counting board to pre-process. So we may be the largest counting board in the state, and we don't have that tool in our toolbox. And then our smaller communities don't have that tool in their toolbox. So, you know, it could have been a lot better to give every clerk the same opportunity. But, you know, I'm not even sure that we would take advantage of that in Oakland County if we had that available to us, because there are extra steps that have to be taken. There's a lot of counting of the envelopes before and after, and I don't think it would be worth it for us in our combined board to be doing it. I know there's some large municipalities that are saying the same thing. It's not going to be worth it for them to do it. But, you know, regardless if a community is pre-processing or not, not a single ballot will be tabulated before the polls open on election day.
And talk about the difference, counting and tabulating. I mean, that's where some of this, I think, gets confusing for
folks. Right, well, tabulating, I mean, they're the same, really. So it's, you know, not a ballot will be going through a tabulator, not a ballot, right? So the pre-processing, it's still in the privacy sleeve. I mean, it's very, the very first step you know, that we take in being able to count the absentee ballots, but they're not even being taken out of their privacy sleeve. So they're not being unfolded. They're still folded up. I mean, so it's you know, just like the very beginning process that
right.
we have
right.
when we will tabulate absentee
well,
ballots.
Well, and really what it does, I think the most practical effect of it is quicker counting after the election's over, right? I mean, it makes it more likely that we get results faster, and that also, I think, is something that that voters are really, really interested in. Justin, I want to go back to you and talk about some of the other things that that are going on. Election security is a big deal and is on a lot of people's minds as we're getting close to November 8th. What are the things that you're hopeful about for Election Day and think that will go smoothly? And what kind of things do you maybe have some concerns about?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I'm encouraged by, you know, overall, and really this is beginning in early 2020 when the pandemic was first, you know, in our public awareness and we began the shutdown. One of the things that we began focusing on and helping our local jurisdiction clerks with is recruitment of election workers, thinking, you know, in reality, at that point when we knew so little about COVID, realizing that we have a group of election officials, election workers at the precincts who are sort of in that at risk demographic, right? I mean, when you think about having so many people coming in and holding an in-person election during a pandemic, that was one of the big challenges that we had. And so we set to work and recruitment efforts, certainly statewide. The Secretary of State's office was a major player in that as well. Mm-hmm. And I always say, like, we got a lot of calls that year in our office about all kinds of things. One of the number one phone calls that we got was, how can I help? And it was an amazing thing to be able to see the community kind of come together. And I think this was happening across the country. This is not an exception in our community, but what a beautiful thing it is to see people really realize that there's a need and step up to that challenge. And I think to this day, you know, what we actually saw in 2020 was a lot of those workers that we were assuming may not be at the precinct. They decided to keep going. They decided to be there and be involved. And we also brought in a whole new workforce of folks who are engaged and want to participate in this process. And we've really seen that continue. So I think that is a real positive in the aspect of, you know, people want to be engaged across the board. And Michigan has a bipartisan process for serving as an election worker. There's so many elements of our process that are considered bipartisan. You have to have the two major political parties represented. And that's a really important piece of this. And I think that continues as well. I think on the concern side, you know, we want to make sure that every single voter feels safe and feels confident and comfortable, confident in the process and the integrity of the election, you know, safe in going to the precinct, safe in being able to cast a ballot by mail or dropping it off at their local clerk's office absentee. You know, and I think those are our real focal points. We've gone through a number of, you know, emergency preparedness planning exercises here at the local level with our local jurisdiction clerks and just kind of being aware of the potential for disruption, right? Making sure that our clerks and our election workers have thought that through a little bit. What do we do in the event that there is some sort of disruption? Or maybe it's simply, you know, engaging with somebody who is frustrated mm-hmm. at the polling booth, mm-hmm. right? They come in and they kind of maybe make an off remark about how they don't or do trust the system. And, you know, and it causes our election workers to have to engage at some level. And we want to make sure that we're providing great customer service for our voters, but also allowing our election workers to do the fundamental work, which is actually processing voters and not having those in-depth conversations. So we're trying to give people some tools to kind of de-escalate those situations. And I think that's an important piece too.
Yeah. Yeah. Lisa, what's on your mind as we get closer to November 8th in terms of overall election security and overall confidence that that things will go smoothly?
Well, as Justin said, we have so many steps already in our process that are in the law, right? So it's not just it's having one Democrat and one Republican sitting next to each other adjudicating ballots, duplicating ballots. It's printing zero reports from the equipment to ensure that, you know, there's no ballots that have been put in before the polls have been open to the public. It's the public accuracy test. We're having ours October 27th in the morning that anyone can come and watch us test the equipment that we'll be using the counting to be count the absentee ballots for 18 of our communities. Our elections are secure. And quite frankly, you know, if you read the news, and Stephen, I don't have to tell you, but, you know, people get caught. It's mm-hmm. not that things don't happen, but they do get caught. And, you know, I've seen videos, I've heard, you know, read the stories of, you know, the rogue person who is encouraging others to do something unethical or illegal in a precinct. And I hope that, you know, the people who hear that message know, don't, you know, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to be arrested. The one thing that we did different this year is that we shared a list of misdemeanors and felonies that occur on election day or that, you know, could occur on election day, like disrupting an election, right? Doing something in a precinct, unplugging a tabulator. Mm-hmm. And we share that with our local clerks and our law enforcement so that our law enforcement knows, like, okay, you think it's just unplugging, you know, something out of the wall. Maybe you shrug and say, that's not a big deal. It's actually a felony. So we want them to know that it is serious and it will be treated seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking with Lisa Brown, who is the clerk of Oakland County, and Justin Roebuck, who is the clerk of Ottawa County. We are talking about what's going to happen in just a few weeks here in Michigan, November 8th. We'll go to the polls and make choices in local and state and congressional races. We're talking about how clerks are preparing for these elections, how different that preparation looks than it did just a few years ago, given the disruptions of the pandemic and, of course, the attacks that have taken place on our democracy. We want to hear from you during the conversation as well. How concerned are you about what will happen on Election Day? Are you someone who's been a poll worker or who wants to volunteer as a poll worker the day of the election? Tell us what that experience has been like. Tell us what you're looking forward to on November 8th, if you're planning to do it this time. What kind of things are on your mind? What are you excited about as we get closer to Election Day? Why are you maybe worried about what will happen on Election Day? And are you concerned about the voting process and the way that we make sure that all votes count here in the state of Michigan? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can include you in the conversation that way. I'm going to say again that we really would love to hear from folks who work on who work at the polls on Election Day. Tell us what those experiences are like. I think that's one of the more up-close witnessing activities you can do in our democracy. Tell us what goes on in your jurisdiction and how confident you are about election security and the fact that all the ballots get counted. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation. Okay, before we get to listeners, Lisa and Justin, I want to talk a little more about the assault that I think has been taking place on our democracy over the last couple of years. So in Macomb County, Genevieve Peters, for instance, was hired to recruit poll workers. But it's also been reported that she was one of the social media influencers who was trying to get January 6th insurrectionists to storm the Capitol. So I know neither of you is in charge of what goes on in Macomb County, but I think all clerks are faced with a different set of questions and challenges, because you do have people who have real doubts about the elections process, who want to disrupt the elections process, who are signing up to be the people who work at the polls or who watch the polls. I want to give both of you a chance to talk about how you manage that and how you make decisions maybe differently now, because you've got to be at least on the lookout for somebody who is trying to inspire mischief and not trying to make voting work better. Lisa, I'll start with you.
Well, first of all, poll workers are usually hired by the city and township clerks. So that is part of their job. You know, in Michigan, our elections are decentralized. There are certain duties that fall upon the county clerk, and there are some that fall upon the city and township clerks. And definitely the precincts fall under the city and township clerks. So they usually hire their poll workers. And, you know, they use the same people usually year after year. I will say for us, with our combined board, we have hired 300 people, a lot of them that have been working for us since we started this in 2020. But I would say to poll workers, if you see something from a coworker that seems inappropriate, then I would call your local clerk. And I would also say something at that moment in time. You know, there was something that happened in Kent County with a poll worker. I think that, you know, whether you're a voter or a poll worker, if you see something, you should be saying something either mm-hmm. to the captain in the precinct or the local clerk. But also know that I think there's some things that a voter might see and not understand and think that there's something nefarious going on. And what I'm referring to is workers coming in and putting ballots in the tabulator, like a bunch of ballots, mm-hmm. right? And so we have a few communities in Oakland County that do not have an absentee voter counting board. They take all their absentee ballots to the precinct to be tabulated. So if I just walked in and saw like two people standing there and they're just putting a bunch of ballots into the tabulator, that doesn't look good, right? If you don't know what they're doing. And then for the communities that we tabulate for, any absentee ballots that they get after 4 p.m. on Monday, those have to be tabulated in the precincts. So people need to, you know, not just assume that if they see something, it's something wrong. I think they need to ask a question and say, like, you know, what's going on here, or yeah, who is this, and educate yourself, because there is a lot to know about elections. Justin and I have both have been doing this for years, and there's still things for us to learn all the time, and things are always changing. But I think if you see something, definitely say something, but ask a question. Don't assume that it's something bad.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's really great advice. Justin, what's your thinking on how to protect against what in some cases is an overt effort to disrupt by becoming part of the process?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Lisa is saying, you know, and on so many levels. I think, you know, for me and folks in my community, when we start the conversation about election integrity, I realize we want the same thing. We all want, as Americans, whether political background is, to trust our process. We want integrity in the process. We want it to be secure, both physically secure and secure from, you know, outside influences or whatever. So I think the vast majority of people who want to get involved, you know, from this side of things, they are skeptical and they're concerned. And I've had so many conversations over the years where I've told people who have questions and who are skeptics, you should volunteer. You really should. You should step up and be a part of this process. If you're concerned about chain of custody on ballots, for example, how about you be one of those people that signs off on the seal of mm-hmm. the ballot container, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there are ways, healthy ways for us as citizens in our democratic process that we are involved in, right, to be a part of it rather than just be skeptics. This doesn't belong to me. This is not my process as an election official. This is all of our process. So I think the vast majority of our citizens, we all do want that. I think there is a small minority that is potentially prepared to disrupt a process, and we have to be prepared for that. Mm-hmm. We have to be able to say, you know, here's what we do. We follow a chain of command in the precinct. We follow the law. And just as Lisa was saying, you know, it's really important to have those relationships with law enforcement and for our election workers to know what their rights, responsibilities are in regard to that. But I do agree, too, that when you get put in a position where you're sitting down in a bipartisan group of folks, and there's a lot of eyes on all of us, you know, yeah, no one does anything in a vacuum in a precinct or a counting board on election day. It's sort of this effect of tampering down the strong emotions, because you're all together in the room and you're all watching one another and you're all holding one another accountable.
Yeah.
And so by and large, I think it's a really great thing that people who have questions and concerns are a part of this, because it belongs to them too. And we need to recognize that also prepare for yeah. people who may be disruptive. And yeah. that obviously is a problem, and we would yeah. address that.
It's a great check on the process. Okay, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna continue talking about Election Day and the process of getting to Election Day and getting through it. We'll get to you on the phones. 313-577-1019 is the number. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can include you in the conversation that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today. About Election Day, it's just a few weeks away here in Michigan, and we are talking with two county clerks about how they are preparing for all the voting that will take place, and all the voting that really has already started. So many people in Michigan now vote before Election Day because we have no reason absentee voting. This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, your host, and as always, I'm really glad you've joined us. Our guests are Lisa Brown, who is the clerk clerk of Oakland County, and Justin Roebuck, who is the clerk of Ottawa County. And again, we're talking about all the preparations that are taking place to get ready for Election Day, to make sure it goes smoothly, to make sure that elections are safe and that that votes get counted the way that they should. Every vote should count. As always, we want to hear from you about what you're thinking about as we get closer to Election Day. We want to hear if you're somebody who works on Election Day at the polls. What has that experience been like? What do you get out of helping other citizens cast their votes here in Michigan? Are you worried about the attacks that we've seen on our democracy and the suggestion that our elections are somehow compromised? What do you think? What are you thinking about as we get closer to this Election Day in terms of how all of those kinds of tensions might play out? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can make sure to include your comments that way. Dave on Twitter says, "I'm very thankful to be able to vote from home. Like most voters, I'm really familiar with candidates for governor, secretary of state, and attorney general, but I'm not as familiar with the rest. I'm grateful to have the time to research who I am voting for." Sam on Twitter says, "Thank you to Michigan Oakland clerk and Justin Roebuck," so Lisa Brown and Justin Roebuck, "for explaining to people the checks, balances, and secure processes that are built into our elections. Election deniers' questions and accusations could be easily resolved if they understood the process." Geneva on Twitter says, "Oh my God, the nonpartisan judges section. Come on. The Oakland County Community College Board of Trustees. Why make it so hard to find info? I only found out one was anti-union by going to their Facebook page." Geneva's right. As media continues to struggle and we get lots less information out there than we used to, it is harder to find info about elections. WDET is a great source, however, and of course the daily newspapers and the network television stations all have some info up, and we all try to get to as much as we can to make sure that you know what you're doing when you walk into the voting booth. Okay, let's go to the phones. Martin in Dearborn, you're up first. What's on your mind?
Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Martin.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Hey, I just wanted to share my experience in the presidential election. I worked as a poll worker in a what turned out to be a conservative Republican poll region in Dearborn Heights, and it was really gratifying to see the steps that are in place to ensure that the election has integrity. People working it were over the top and helpful, making sure that they were able to answer questions and resolve any kind of issues that came up. Frankly, I think anyone that has a question about the election, they need to work one of the elections at the poll itself,
yeah,
at the precinct. This is the best way.
Yeah, Martin, I'm really glad you called and shared that experience, because again, when you sit there, I think and are part of the process, it probably looks a little different than it does to those of us who are not working the polls, but also your assertion that that things are very tightly handled during elections, that really matters, because again, there are lots of people who are concerned and who feel like they're not well handled and feel like there are all kinds of shenanigans that can go on and do go on while we're voting. So it matters that you're there and that you can, testify to the fact that that's not what you saw. That was not your experience. So I really appreciate the call. Let's go next to Karen in Macomb. Karen, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. So this is really disturbing. I was talking to a friend last night, and I was completely unaware of this, but the new Macomb County clerk hired an election denier to train those that will be working the elections and counting the ballots, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, and, we were talking about that a little earlier too. I mean, it's disturbing that you've got somebody with that kind of record who's now going to be trying to teach other people how to work the polls. And the clerk of Macomb County, Anthony Ferlini, has addressed that. He says, look, he did not make the hire, and he's also said that this was part of that person's past. He didn't want to hold it against him. But, Karen, I'm with you. I don't draw a lot of confidence from that. But here's the question, Karen. Does that inspire you maybe to go become a poll worker, to be part of the process to ensure that what you're concerned about doesn't happen?
Well, the scary thing is that I'm in a high risk category. I mean, if it weren't for the pandemic, I would definitely be out there. But I have to take extra precautions to keep myself safe. And, you know, even with the boosters and the, you know, new variant being so highly transmissible, it's really discouraging because, I would love to make sure that, you know, that can be monitored where it is fair. So what we're doing is we are just talking to anybody and everything, encouraging them to vote early. And a lot of people are taking advantage of voting absentee. So we are just pushing hard and heavy, please vote early, vote early so that we can stave this off. And I apologize, I tuned into the show late, so I didn't hear the conversation earlier.
Yeah. But no worries.
It's frightening, you know, that this is the, you know, world we live in. And Macomb County, I met Governor Whitmer over the weekend. There was a campaign event, and she's dead to the nails, right? Macomb County is a huge battleground, and she is just a very lovely person. Mm. Her compassion is just amazing. She is so down to the earth. And, you know, we need to keep her as our governor because her opponent, I'm sorry, she's nothing more than a Stepford wife.
Well, Karen, I appreciate that take as well. That's not really what we're talking about, but I appreciate that everybody has strong opinions, I think, about the gubernatorial race. I really do appreciate the call and the perspective, though. Lisa and Justin, I want to get your reactions to what we are hearing from callers, both about the integrity of elections that they see at the polls, and then this question again about people who probably intend mischief trying to be part of the process. Justin, I'll start with you this time.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm just thinking about a conversation I had a couple of weeks ago with one of our election workers who's probably in her mid-70s, and she's worked for a number of years, and I have a relationship with her because we do the training at Ottawa County and a lot of our communities. And so I've sat with her in training rooms for probably 10 years now. And she was just telling me about the excitement at their precinct last August 2 in the primary, when they got a couple of 18-year-olds who were voting for the first time in the precinct. And, you know, they all did a cheer and they wanted, like, they took a selfie with the election workers, and the whole precinct was just kind of excited for these new voters who kind of come into the system as their first experience. And there's so many things like that happen on election day. And I think that, you know, we lose sight sometimes in this environment we're in. And you're so right, that everyone has strong opinions about political candidates. And that's a good and a healthy thing, too, right? That shows that our democracy is working. But I also think that, you know, we can't forget the good and the positive and the things that are coming out of this. So while we prepare for potential danger, we also have to recognize what a beautiful thing it is, you know, and in-person voting is great. I recognize there's a lot of candidates on the ballot. It's hard to do research. And I love what one of our, you know, one of the listeners on Twitter, it's great to sit down at your kitchen table and vote. Yeah. a ballot out. It's also a lot of fun to be in the precinct. I take my kids too. You know, I think that's a great experience for them to see they're not voting age.
Yeah, but, you know, I am still wedded to the idea of going on election day to the election site and seeing who's there. There are people I see only, it seems, on election day at the polling site. And it also gives me a good sense, I think, of how heavy turnout might be and how excited people are. But I wouldn't miss it either. At least I wonder what your reaction is.
Well, I really enjoyed hearing Martin's positive experience as a poll worker. I always say democracy is a team sport. And I mean, it from every level, whether it's a voter, it's an election administrator, a local clerk or county clerk, or somebody who works on election day. It takes all of us to make it happen. But I know somebody had said it was hard to find information about some of the candidates and nonpartisan candidates. And I just want to suggest the League of Women Voters puts out, wonderful information. It is nonpartisan. They just, ask every candidate the same questions. So you can hear from candidates themselves, like how they stand on certain issues. So I always steer people towards the League of Women Voters.
Yeah. Okay. Quickly, let's get Vera from Dearborn. And Vera, you've got a really important point to make. I want to make sure we include you in the conversation here.
Well, actually, similar to what she just said, I wanted to let people know that had questions that the League of Women Voters put out a nonpartisan guide. You can get it at your local library. That's where I found mine. It had specific for my area as well as a general one. And if you have access to the internet, you can go to, it's vote411.org.
Yeah. Really great site.
.org, yeah. And it'll give you specifics that, like she said, they ask, questions, the same questions to everybody. It's very informative. It's nonpartisan. It's just very matter of fact. And you can educate yourself and figure out which choices you want to make.
Yeah, no, and a really important resource and really important for people to know that there are resources out there that have information about all of the races. Okay, Lisa Brown, clerk of Oakland County, and Justin Roebuck, clerk of Ottawa County. It was really great to have both of you here with us, and good luck in the preparation for November 8th and on Election Day.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Good to be with you.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to stay close to politics, but pivot to discuss Civility Day at Oakland University coming up next Tuesday and how we can build better relationships with people with whom we disagree. Stay with us for more Detroit Today.